It's time for Hoop Talk, presented by Olympia Orthopedic Associates on 95.3 KGY. A weekly look at high school basketball in the area with your host, Noel Wall, and Olympian prep contributor, Dave Weber.
And good morning. A little bit of rain still. I didn't really expect that this morning. Tide is up around the studios here, and the water in Bud Inlet is starting to clear up a little bit. It was muddy as a mud puddle the other day after all that rain we had that made the Deschutes River kind of run pretty hard. I am Noel Wall, along with Olympian prep contributor Dave Weber, and we got a show lined up for you today. On today's show, as we know, the brackets were set and the tournaments have begun. We're going to go over the opening brackets, up-to-date results so far from the high school basketball tournaments that have local teams in them anyway. We are going to hear from Tumwater girls coach Robin Johnson a little bit later on. They've suffered a couple losses. Timberline coach, boys coach Alan Thomas also on their exit from the tournament. We've also got the Olympia boys coach John Kiley and player Mason Juergens, who hit four free throws, Dave, down the stretch in the win Wednesday over Mariner.
Yeah, and he came back and did almost the same thing against Tahoma yesterday. He hit a three to break the tie and then made a bunch of free throws down the stretch. So, in fact, yesterday he hadn't even scored when he started his heroics. So, quite a week for him so far.
Well, he figured highly in both of John Kiley's interviews, so we're going to hear those later on. Plus, we'll preview today's action, of course. St. Martin's also is hosting the GNAC tournament, and we're going to hear about that. And I understand a little bit of gymnastics as well. But let's start right out with 2B and the Rainier girls. The girls at number 11 beat to number 14 Columbia to open against Lake Roosevelt Wednesday morning.
They did, and then that they had to win that game. That was a loser out game to get to the big arena in Spokane, and they accomplished that last Friday by beating Columbia Burbank, and that was a 50-41 score. Freshman Bryn Beckman led the way with 19 points, and senior Faith Besh added 10 in that game. Unfortunately, when they got to yet another loser out game at the Spokane Arena, they were not able to, come close. They finished the season 18-8 after a tough 63-43 loss to Lake Roosevelt in the first round of the 2B tournament. That was on Wednesday. The Mountaineers got behind early. They shot just 28% from the field and were out-rebounded by the Raiders 53-32. So Lake Roosevelt, pretty strong outing for them. Beckman led the way on that one again with 16, and she just missed a double-double as she also grabbed 9 rebounds. No other Rainier player reached double figures in that one, but seniors Besh and Isabella Holmes had 9 points apiece. So, you know, bittersweet finish for the seniors like Holmes and Besh, who came in as freshmen with a very strong group and looked forward to state. They end up at state at the main site in Spokane, so that's not too bad. But then the loss probably stings a little bit in their final game. We'll talk about another group that had a similar experience later on as well from Tumwater.
All right. And just because it's kind of interesting, we talk about ADNA quite a bit. They lost in that opening round to Chief Leschi. Raymond, meanwhile, beat Mapton to advance to Thursday's quarterfinal. They're going to play, or they did play Colfax. They lost that one, but they're in the consolation bracket, going to play Chief Leschi today at some point.
Yeah. There's some good 2B teams in the general vicinity around here. Not all of them are within the sound of our voices, but they are some pretty good ones.
Yes. All right. We move on to Tenino Beavers, where the girls were in it last Friday when we last spoke, but fell to number 13 Toppenish.
Yeah, it was a close one. They lost 60-55, finished up the season at 17-7. That was a mild upset. The Beavers had been seeded 12th, Toppenish 13th entering the game. That game was played, obviously, in Chehalis, so that was a little bit closer to home for the Beavers and Toppenish if it wasn't a home game. But they still were beaten by 5 points. Grace Vestal, who didn't do this often, she led the way with 19 points. And Ashley Scow, the usual leading scorer for the Beavers, had 18 in her final game. And that was a pretty big deal for them because it was their first state tournament appearance in 19 years. Didn't make it to the Yakima Valley Sun Dome, but they were in the state tournament for the first time in, actually since before most of them were born. So not a bad season for Tenino at all.
Yeah, that's an accomplishment right there. So good to hear about that, and hopefully can pick up from there next year. Hey, this is the end of our quick first segment this morning on Hoop Talk, but we are going to be back. We have 2A Tumwater, both the boys and the girls coverage. Later, Timberline and Olympia, including interviews with both coaches. But first, look at our sponsors, traffic and weather. You're listening to Hoop Talk on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound Traffic.
We're looking at normal travel times through the greater Olympia area. We do have a collision just cleared off to the left shoulder in Puyallup Highway 512, right around 104th Street. And we do have a collision in Federal Way off to the shoulder, northbound I-5 at Highway 18. Normal travel times, I'm John Nelson. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control.
Sponsored by Mako.
The uh-ohs are out there. Scratches, dents, unexpected natural events. But with Mako and their magic, your car is no longer tragic. So when life throws you uh-ohs, just say,
better get Mako.
And go to Mako.com to book your appointment today.
We paid how much for those lessons?
Shh, she's doing great.
Oh yeah, totally. Can you pass me a Pepsi Zero Sugar? Great job, honey! Oh, well, look at that. That's not the end.
No way. Now it's time for the encore.
You know what? You're right. Five times? Not enough times.
For everyone who traded in rock concerts for their kids' recitals, you've compromised enough. Pepsi Zero Sugar. That's what I like.
From Olympia, your TVW update. What's happening in state government? Politics, policy, and law.
The issue of abortion brought debate this week in the state Senate, which considered a bill that seeks to preserve access to abortion, even if the U.S. Supreme Court overturns the Roe v. Wade decision. Debate was passionate on both sides of the bill.
Residents of our state, Mr. President, have been crystal clear. They've definitively said that access to abortion and reproductive health care must be assured in our state.
It's a woman's right to choose, but there's one tiny person in this whole debate that does not have that right to choose, and that is the child.
In the face of an historic and unprecedented assault on reproductive freedom in this country, that every single one of us has an obligation to stand up and speak out for the fundamental human rights of every single person in our state.
Now, some people in the floor debate have talked about their concerns about rights. And one of the reasons I ran for the legislature way back in 1980 was because I believe in the civil rights of unborn children.
The bill passed the Senate 28-21 on a mostly party line vote after previously passing the House.
TVW on statewide cable, online at tvw.org, on Roku, and the TVW mobile app.
Do it yourself? Since 1955, Cut Rate Auto Parts has been making it easier. From expert advice to a huge selection of parts at discount prices to their AutoBucks Rewards program, they're there for you. DIY is even easier with Cut Rate's Do-It-Yourself Plus. They'll help you hook up a new battery, test your alternator, install your new windshield wiper blades, or diagnose what that check engine light needs. Great prices, great value, and a little help with Do-It-Yourself Plus. Do it with them today at Elma, Aberdeen, Shelton, or Lacey, or check out CutRateAutoParts.com.
Cut Rate Auto Parts, we got your part.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
And welcome back on a Friday morning. You are with Dave Weber and myself, Noel Wall. This is Hoop Talk on Olympia's KGY. It's our very own and Thurston County's only high school sports roundup show on the radio. And thanks to sponsors like McKinney's Appliance with Maytag and Whirlpool Appliances that make your life easier. McKinney's Appliance on Martin Way in Lacey and on Olympia's West Side. Also by Choice Regional Health Networks, new to our sponsorship this season. They are your partner, I should say, for community health and services. And we're up to 2A and the Evergreen Conference, where things seem to be going so well for both sides of the Tumwater group. And the girls, who came in ranked number one, have been eliminated, Dave. And, man, it was, to me, a couple of surprising game results.
Yeah, they finished, you know, the Tumwater girls. This was a year that it was supposed to be a red letter year. I don't know if you say that or not, but, you know, it was kind of a senior year for a sizable percentage of their team that had come in with great fanfare as freshmen. And they cruised through most of the season. They did not even lose to a 2A team until they got into the state regional game, which, as you alluded to, they then lost to Burlington Edison in a region round game at WF West last Saturday, 52-47. And then they fell to number 9 West Valley in a loser out game at the Yakima Valley Sun Dome, 56-52. So very close games, and they just didn't quite get there where they wanted to be and where they've been focused on for the last 4 years. And the real heartbreak in the deal was not so much this season as 2 years ago, the last time there was a state tournament. They played West Valley, the same team that eliminated them this year. And it was a semifinal game. If they'd have won it, they'd have gone to the final. And West Valley got, I don't want to say lucky, but it was an unorthodox shot that went in off the glass to beat the T-Birds at the buzzer. And I'm sure they had everything in mind going into a game with West Valley to open the action in Yakima, that they were going to exact some revenge for that one, but it did not happen. Their first loss, we're going to go back and talk about all this in order, and their first loss against a 2A team all season long was against Burlington Edison in that regional play at WF West last Saturday. Kylie Waltermeyer led the way with 17 points for Tumwater. They had fell behind by as many as 13 points. They caught up to within two twice in the fourth quarter. Couldn't quite get there. And that, I think, you know, I'm going to go on my soapbox here for a minute, Noel, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I think that the WIA needs to really look at these regional games, because you get a team that's number one in the whole thing. Okay, they lose to the 8 seed, so they deserve, you know, some sort of punishment from the bracket.
But, sure.
Why are you making them play that game? And now they go in with a, you know, I don't know that they went in with a negative attitude, but you go in with an attitude, oh, geez, we just got beat, you know, as opposed to being that number one team going into the main site of the state tournament, you know, as a imposing team that everybody's kind of worried about. You know, that magic kind of comes off.
I see. So a game that wasn't an elimination game might have just affected the psyche of the players.
But it sends you down a wrong, it can send you down a wrong path. And, you know, it'd be nice to go through at the end of the thing and figure out how many teams got upset in that game and then went on to lose early in the actual main draw. Not necessarily as a result of that, but as a factor that played into it. So,
sure.
The game, though, with West Valley, it was, again, just kind of like it was the time before when they played.
Yeah.
Neither team led by more than a single point at the end of a quarter.
All right. Before you go there, Burlington.
Oh, yeah.
And you talked to Robin after that game.
That's right.
And, you know, you've talked to Robin multiple times on this show. You talked this year. You've talked last year. And, you know, her demeanor and her exuberance has always come through. And that wasn't the case after this Burlington Edison game, I don't think.
No, and I think, you know, that's a factor of what, you know, you kind of try to have to tell yourself, well, it wasn't that big of a deal because we're still in the main draw, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I think they earned a little bit better draw, and she was probably, if that's true, that she wasn't as enthusiastic, probably because, you know, why did we have to do this?
Yeah.
And now we're in this tougher ballgame to start the tournament.
All right. Well, here it is. This is Robin after the girls lost to Burlington Edison last week.
how surprised were you by Burlington?
Not surprised at all. Yeah. No, I'm not surprised at all. Have you seen them at all? Yeah. Yep. And they're a really good team that are well coached. I am not shocked at all. They played ridiculously hard. Tons of credit to them. Yeah.
What, what were the things that they did well as opposed to the things you did poorly?
They played really good defense, which we knew they would. They kept us on our toes the whole time. They applied a lot of pressure that we didn't really handle well. And they rebounded well. They flat out outworked us. You know, I mean, I think my kids brought what we had to bring tonight, but they had more than we had to bring tonight.
Who played well for you guys tonight?
You know, I think it was a team effort of a lot of guts tonight. We've had a difficult week as a team, and I thought they showed a lot of heart and guts tonight, and I'm so proud of my kids.
What made it a difficult week?
We just faced some adversity this week that we hadn't yet.
So what about Kylie, though? I mean, she seemed like she was really, Kylie's really tough down the stretch.
Kylie definitely is tough. And, you know, she's we just call her kind of like ice. She's always really good in the clutch, and she's never really gets too high or too low. She's pretty steady, and the kid loves to compete. So when competition's on the line, she's definitely someone I count on a lot.
What can you guys do for preparing for next week's obviously state's coming up, so.
Yeah, well, you know, losses can be good or they can be bad, and that's going to be up to us. So we're going to get back and prepare, and this gives us another game together, and we love our team and we love each other, so now we get another game at the state tournament, and hopefully we just take care of business. We've always been taking it one game at a time, and so this doesn't change anything for us.
It's not quite as heartbreaking as that one where you were actually in the dome and the girl hit the buzzer.
Right. You know, that was definitely heartbreaking.
Yeah, you still have a chance to win.
But we're not out, and like I said, I'm really proud of the guts my kids showed today.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Robin Johnson, the Tumwater girls basketball coach, before they were out after their loss to Burlington Edison, that set up a Wednesday game with West Valley of Spokane that did not come out in their favor.
No, it didn't. Also, just to let people know, that was Alec Dietz of the Chronicle, the Centralia paper that's taken to covering Tumwater this season for whatever reason. He was in the conversation with me and Robin as well. So I guess that's called a shout out to Alex, I guess. But anyway.
Yeah, he's going to appear later in the show along with former co-host Lauren Smith.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had.
Or not him.
It'll be from the TNT and Mike Massey from the Seattle Times later on. So, yeah, a lot of guest stars this week.
And I misspoke. It was a guy from the Everett Herald that was in on the interview with Olympia later on.
Didn't know why Alec would be all the way up there. But, when the state tournament comes, this business of one reporter at a time kind of goes by the wayside because there tends to be so many of us.
It's kind of fun, though.
It's like that. You know, I tell people I don't understand how high school reporters always want their own interview. Where at the Super Bowl, there's like 200 guys in the room at the post game interview. So, anyhow, so getting back to the West Valley game, I started to mention this before I realized I was blowing our script. But Tumwater and West Valley had an airtight game on Wednesday. Neither team led by more than a single point at the end of any of the first three quarters. But then West Valley came on to win 56-52. They outshot Tumwater, including a sizzling 9 of 12 from three-point range. And they out-rebounded Tumwater. T-Birds did force 27 Wildcat turnovers. So that was something that could have made the game go in their favor, but just didn't quite. Isabella Lund, who's one of those seniors, led the team with 13 points. And Aubrey Amendola, another of those seniors, she's going on to be called Utah Tech by the time she gets there.
All right.
Elizabeth Lund is going to Western Montana, so they're both college-bound players. Aubrey had 11 in the game, and she had a team-high 3 assists. So still some good things ahead for the individual girls on the team as they go on to college. Natalie Sumrock, of course, going to Western Colorado out of that group. But I know they're probably heartbroken that they didn't get their goal as a group done.
I'm sure they are, and I'm also sure that we're going to hear a little bit about them in the future as we continue talking about basketball here on Hoop Talk. The boys, a little better situation. Boys started off with their win over Pullman, number 4 Pullman, a little bit of an underdog there.
Yeah, they did, and they lost that game in Spokane. The T-Birds had to go all the way out across the state to, again, one of those things. Now, in that case, the Thunderbirds weren't highly ranked, so it's not the, you know, the thing I was alluding to with the girls where you kind of get cheated out of the spot you earned. But nonetheless, even as a sixth seed, they had to go all the way out to Pullman, not to Pullman, to Spokane to play Pullman, and ended up losing 61-50. And Connor Hopkins led the T-Birds against the Greyhounds with 20 points. He made 4 3-pointers in that one. But still kind of a tough setup for then coming back and having to play Grandview on Wednesday. Luckily, or not luckily, due to their preparation and work and so forth, Tumwater never trailed in that one and kind of blew out Grandview 66-46. Neither team really shot the ball well in that game, but the T-Birds went to the free throw line more often, and they out-rebounded Grandview. Guard Andrew Collins and post Ryan Otten each had a double-double. Collins with 17 points and 13 rebounds. Otten 12 and 13. And Luke Brewer added 16 points in that one. So things were going pretty well for the Birds until last night. So I guess we can just launch into what happened to them last
night.
Sure.
I would say that Grandview game, those Wednesday games are important to win because that guarantees now you have at least you have two more games.
Two more games, and you're in a position to grab some sort of trophy. It's interesting this year there's only going to be 6 places in 4A, and there'll still be 8 in the other divisions. But 4A, I guess, did not survive the change to the strict enrollment guidelines with as many teams as it used to have. So
okay,
they don't get as many trophies. But anyhow, Tumwater boys, they're 21-6 now, but they did fall into the consolation bracket out in Yakima. They lost to the same team that had beaten them in the District 4 championship game, R.A. Long, by a score of 61-54. And people that follow this stuff for a good long while realize that there's been a entire sea change down there in the Kelso Longview area. R.A. Long used to be the patsy, and Mark Morris was the powerhouse. And this year that just flipped over, and R.A. Long was the really good team, and Mark Morris was just okay. So I don't know if that's a long-term thing. I'd be reluctant to say that because everybody knows how my ridiculous prediction that Black Hills had caught up to Tumwater in football a few years ago.
That didn't quite turn out, did it?
Didn't quite out to be the truth. So I wouldn't say that R.A. Long has become the dynasty, but for this year anyway, they've been really tough. They beat the T-Birds, as I said, in the District 4 championship game, and then also in state. In the state game, the Lumberjacks outshot Tumwater in all three areas, 2-point field goals, 3-point field goals, and free throws to claim the victory. Andrew Collins did lead Tumwater in scoring with 18 points. Luke Brewer chipped in 17, and that was an accomplishment for Luke because he was getting regularly double-teamed in that game as R.A. Long made it their business to limit his contributions and didn't quite succeed entirely. He still got 17, so good effort by him against that defensive strategy. And the T-Birds now will square off with Sehome in a 2 p.m. game this afternoon that they will hope can lead them to a chance at fourth place in tomorrow's final day of action. Didn't get a chance to catch up long distance with Coach Josh Wilson, but read the Chronicles article about the game. They had Eric Trent out there, and you know, same kind of thing. One day at a time. We can't win the thing, can't win the whole thing now, but we're going to go after that fourth place trophy as hard as we can, and hopefully his players are on the same page, and they'll do just that.
And I will tell our listeners that we, meaning you, did reach out to virtually every team to get some audio from the coaches. And, of course, the fates don't always shine on that effort. But
that was a really late game for Tumwater. Relatively speaking, it was a normal starting time, 7:15. But, you know, a lot came before it. They got to get up early. But they've got to play early today too, so I don't blame him for not getting in touch. And any other coaches probably traveling back from Yakima, you know, yesterday when I was trying to reach him. But maybe we'll wrap a little bit of those up. Depending upon what we decide to do with next week's show, we can maybe throw a little bit of that in there.
All right. That could be a lot of fun. Well, that is going to be the end of that segment right there, but we have more to come, because next, Timberline is our was our 3A entry into the tournament. We're going to hear from Coach Alan Thomas. Later, the Olympia boys, they are still alive. We'll outline the road to here and talk about what's next for the Bears. First, though, a look at traffic, weather, and a word from our sponsors. It's Hoop Talk on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
Looking at pretty much average travel times right now. I'm seeing a bit of slow traffic on I-5 in the northbound direction from about South 56th Street, off and on through Tacoma. Olympia to Tacoma will take you about 35 minutes. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm John Nelson.
Nothing brings the family together like a home-cooked meal. Let Whirlpool and Maytag appliances help you handle what the day brings. From smart cooking to dependable dishwashers, McKinney's Appliance has it all. With the largest selection of Whirlpool and Maytag appliances in the area, you're sure to find the perfect appliances for your cooking needs. Shop for the best appliances with the latest features at McKinney's Appliance today. McKinney's Appliance, serving Southwest Washington since 1972.
It's back, the KGY Virtual Car Show, presented by Cut Rate Auto Parts. Car lovers, if you're like a lot of us, you can hardly wait for summer activities like driving around and heading to car shows. Am I right? Well, if you've been cooped up with nothing to do but work on your favorite ride, we got just the thing for you. The KGY Virtual Car Show, powered by Cut Rate Auto Parts. February 18th through the end of March. Enter free by posting a photo of your car to KGYFM.com. Once entered, you could win a weekend getaway for two. The KGY Virtual Car Show with Cut Rate Auto Parts. Come on, join the fun.
Is your first step in the morning painful? At the end of the workday, are your aching feet the only thing on your mind? At Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates, our orthotics are specially made devices designed to support and comfort your feet. Our doctors use orthotics to treat all kinds of foot and heel pain. If you have pain, make an appointment with a specialist here today. End foot and heel pain. Call 360-754-FEET.
Helping you put your best foot forward. Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates.
5.3, cloudy this morning with highs in the upper 40s, mild breezes. Tonight, patchy fog moves in and sets up overnight into tomorrow morning before sunshine arrives. Tonight's lows in the mid-30s.
95.3. Welcome back once again to Hoop Talk. It is the penultimate show of the 2022 season for basketball. You are with Dave Weber and me, Noel Wall, and we are here thanks to sponsors like Cut Rate Auto Parts. You know, if you had a 40-year-old car in your garage, it'd be worth something. It's a classic. If you have a 4-year-old car in your garage, it's worth a lot more than you might think because, you know, there's $800 million of those expensive cars at the bottom of the ocean right now. And the supply chain is not helped by that at all. So if you can't part with your car, Cut Rate has the car, your car's parts, to take care of it, whether it's repair, maintenance, or just keeping it looking good. We're also here thanks to L&E Bottling, our local Pepsi distributor. They also provide coffee and water for your office and workspace. And they are proud to support high school sports coverage right here on KGY. We're up to 3A. And Timberline came in, Dave, with, you know, a kind of double opportunity to do well in the state tournament. But they fell right away in their regional matchup to Garfield, and they didn't get better after that.
Yeah, it's another one of those things that you wonder about that whole regional round. They had lost the district championship to Auburn. And then had to come right back and play the top seed in the entire state tournament, Garfield, to open play at the in the regional. They lost the district game to Auburn, and then they had to play the regional against Garfield, and they were beaten soundly, 90-58. Miles Gursky had 14 points and 11 rebounds in that one, while Brooklyn Hicks scored 14 and Daryl Gibson 13. So they got some scoring from their quote-unquote big three, but didn't come close to beating Garfield. Garfield is kind of you know, they've got a Gursky and a Hicks at every position, and Timberline basically has three really super strong players and some other good ones, but not at the Garfield level. So, and then ironically or coincidentally, we always have that debate. Is it ironic or is it just a coincidence?
Yep.
Garfield then turned around and lost to Auburn yesterday in what was quite a game at the Dome. So they are out, the top seed, knocked out of the tournament. But as far as Timberline being taken down, they finish up 17-6. They dropped their first game at the Dome, 65-62 to Montlake Terrace. That was a back-and-forth battle, 13 lead changes and 8 ties.
Wow.
And, yeah, and at the buzzer, Brooklyn Hicks got squared up, but he was in a hurry, shot the three that would have tied it. He missed it, and they didn't get to go to overtime. So that's how close the game was, all those lead changes. And then a good look for Hicks, but he was, you know, he was rushing to beat the clock. Wasn't his absolute best shot, and the Blazers go down. Hicks was having a great game that day. Prior to that, he had a double-double, 21 points and 10 rebounds. Gursky, he led the way with 22 points. And Gibson, who is a sophomore poster, none of them are graduating. Gursky and Hicks are both juniors. They're both college prospects. And their sophomore post player, Daryl Gibson, who is going to wind up being a college prospect either in basketball or football, he stuffed the stat sheet with 13 points, 9 rebounds, 4 block shots, and a steal. So, you know, seesaw game like that, it was a good ball game. What ended up making the difference in the final moments was Montlake Terrace forward Xavion Jones just turned out to be a problem Timberline couldn't solve. He finished 11 of 16 from the field for 22 points, and 10 of those came down the stretch, final 4 minutes of the game, to, you know, answer every lead that Timberline got or every tie they got. Xavion Jones was there. He's powering up from the left-hand block most of the time in those 10 points down the stretch. So, you know, not a crushing defeat in the scoreboard, but a crushing defeat in the sense that it ended their season for Timberline. But
well, that's the kind of game that gives you a heart attack when you got, how many, you said 16 lead changes and 8 ties or something.
Oh, yeah. It just keeps going back and forth like that. And you never really know in those games. One of the games that Timberline played earlier that I saw was a big league game they had with Gig Harbor. And in that one, there weren't 13 lead changes because I don't think Timberline ever led after the first quarter, you know, first few moments. They never led until the very end. They went on a burst at the end and won it. So, yeah, those games are kind of a toughy one. But they have a really good forward, Tyler Noe. He's graduating. But other than that, their entire team is back. Don't know what they've got coming up with the even younger players who may contribute. But we know that the top three players, Hicks, Gursky, and Gibson, are all back, and there's some other good players as well. They really didn't play with, other than Daryl Gibson, they didn't really play with a big, but they've got a couple of tall kids sitting over there on the bench that only played a few minutes here and there. But Alan, I think that's going to be in he's going to be in the interview. He talks a little bit about how they can become contributors. So, good Timberline team, bad result on Wednesday. And we'll see where they come back out next year.
But with the starters returning, yes, a lot to look forward to. Here is that interview with Timberline coach Alan Thomas.
So obviously disappointing. What did you guys not do well and them do well?
Well, you got to give them credit. Yeah. I think that they did a great job of handling pressure and giving the ball inside to their big guy late when we kind of got some momentum. They kind of killed that momentum with the timely buckets. And then I would say that three at the end of the third quarter was huge.
Yep.
Because we kind of, I wouldn't say had them on the ropes, but we had momentum. I thought their point guard did a great job of being a leader. And their role guys played better than our role guys. You know, so when you look at what Miles and Brooklyn were able to do offensively, it almost canceled out what they did with their two guys offensively. But then they had, you know, 11 for them, number 21 and 33 did a great job making buckets when we were either switching to zone or we're in a scramble. And then they made a pull-up jumper, or they made a layup, or they made an offensive rebound putback. So I thought it was a great game. Could have gone either way, honestly. But my hat goes off to Nalen and his team, because those guys are ready to compete. And then this is our first time together, you know, in this stage, and it's different if you've never been.
How much do you think it just came down to not being able to get stops down the stretch? I mean, their big guy, Xavion, had 10 points in the final 4 minutes.
Yeah, I think that was huge. That, he, with every shot, he gained more and more confidence inside. And, you know, I mean, on the flip side, we were able to, you know, run our side pick and roll and get good looks too, but his right at the basket.
So was he? Was he just not being defended well, or was he exceeding his usual ability, number 41?
Well, he's a load. I think he did exactly what he normally does. And we wanted to force him to his right, and he kept going to the left. And so he was very imposing inside, and every shot he gained more confidence.
This is a pretty young team you have. I mean, you guys got pretty much everyone back. How excited are you just to build on this for next year?
Oh, it's huge. Like tonight, we started a freshman who hasn't started the whole year, Kenyon Simmons, and trying to give him a taste of, you know, what could be a big year defensively for him and Jackson Brown the next year. And then we have to work in the offseason on finding two or three guys that can give us those 5 minutes.
So the bigs that you have, you have a couple of bigs sitting there in Ethan and Gage. Are they prospects, or are they just kind of football guys that are out there, or are they going to be good?
Well, one's a football guy, Gage Page, yeah. Who was a first-team only kicker. He's going to be a force. This is his first year playing basketball, so I think that he has a bright future. And then Ethan Cornwell, he will look to step in, hopefully, and give a lot more minutes, either as a starter or a backup starter.
Would you look at, if they were able to do that, would you look at Daryl as more of a 3-4 type guy?
Yes.
Use him as a post?
Yes. Yeah, we'll probably venture him out to be the 4 and the 3, but he's just, I mean, when he gets his seals inside, and when he gets touches and looks, you know, and he gets comfortable, you know, he had a great game today. I mean, he had 13 and 15 rebounds, so he's a better defensive player than, you know, he kind of gets credit for. I expect him to be a major force inside or outside for us next year.
All right, very good. Thanks, Alan. Thanks.
Timberline boys coach Alan Thomas, that was after their loss to Montlake Terrace. And Dave, in the middle of that interview, he talked about how important it is to have been in the dome and had that experience in order to come back to the dome and be a little more comfortable with the situation. How big for next year would a win Wednesday have been, which would have gotten those guys 2 more games of experience under the dome, even if they lost both those games?
Yeah, I think that would have been a plus for them. But I also think that for players like Hicks and Gursky, you know, the top players that are probably going to be moving on to college and playing in big arenas a lot, it's kind of just knowing what you're doing. Where's the locker room going to be? There's 2 games going on at once, so you might hear a big roar from the other side of the curtain. You know, the fans are a little bit farther away. Just things that you don't notice until you've actually been in it. And now they will have been in it, because it's not a matter of who you're playing against, especially for the top players, because they play on that AAU circuit over the summer,
right,
and play against some of the best players from all over the country. So it's not the competition, it's the environment. And I think that, yeah, 3 games would have been awesome, because then you'd have all kinds of experience with, you know, the logistical things that I'm talking about. But I think you really, you know, just having got your feet wet, that's probably going to be sufficient to take that awe factor out of it, you know, when they come back, if they come back next year. Not guaranteed. You always say that. I remember being when my daughter was playing at New Mexico State, their coach said that after their NC2A loss. He said, "And we'll be back next year." And I was like, "Oh my goodness!" you just put yourself on everybody in your league's bulletin board.
Yes,
but luckily they did. So, you know, and I think that Timberline has that same kind of confidence, same kind of justification for being confident with the roster that they have. And, you know, everybody stays healthy, they should come back. And you're right, it would have been good to have more games in a dome, but I think even one will hold them in good stead.
All right. Well, in the rest of the bracket there, Mount Lake Terrace went on to get blown out by Mount Spokane by 25 points. Yeah. Semifinals.
They did.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I saw a bit of that game. And, you know, Mount Spokane, when they show up at the Dome, they're usually pretty darn good. And I think they, you know, who knows how they'll do in their semifinal today. But, you know, they are they're to be reckoned with. They are a pretty good program.
Yeah, Mount Spokane plays number 4, Rainier Beach. Meanwhile, number 2, Auburn plays number 5, Seattle Prep. And let's see, there we have, that is going to be the end of that segment right there. But you know what? We got plenty to go. We got to look at Olympia's boys. They are underdogs who have kept the dream alive in 4A. Plus, we've got a little look at gymnastics and some college hoops. Don't go away. There's lots to come. First, though, as you know, weather, traffic, word from our sponsors. Don't forget that. It's Hoop Talk on KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
Traffic starting to simmer down a bit on area roadways. We still have some heavy traffic in the Puyallup area. Eastbound 512, the right lane is blocked at 104th Street. We also had something going on westbound 512 right around 31st Street. That is now cleared from the roadway. Seeing normal traffic on I-5 through the Olympia area. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm John Nelson.
Sponsored by Mucinex Fastmax Cold and Flu All-in-One. When cold and flu season has you down, don't play around. Stay on top of your game with Mucinex Fastmax Cold and Flu All-in-One, delivering unbeatable multi-symptom relief to help you power through your day. Mucinex Fastmax Cold and Flu All-in-One, and done. Use as directed.
Coffee with Ken Balsley.
Hey, this is Ken Balsley here. Every Sunday morning on Coffee with Ken, I'll talk to the people that make our community run. Those government regulators, elected officials, you know, those that make our community what it is today. My guest Sunday morning is Sam Gibney, who is the executive director of the Port of Olympia, and we had a great conversation about the port and its future. So fill up your coffee cup. You don't want to miss a minute of it. That's Sunday morning, 8 a.m.
Coffee with Ken Balsley.
If you have COVID-19 tests at home, you've probably wondered, when should I use them? Sometimes are better than others. If you have COVID symptoms, take a test. If you've had an exposure but no symptoms, wait 5 days to test. If you want to be sure you don't have COVID before meeting up with others, test as shortly beforehand as possible. That's all there is to it. Just follow the directions in the package. To learn more, visit doh.wa.gov/testing. A message from the Washington State Department of Health.
I am Dr. Adam Salib. Today I wanted to talk to you about heel pain. Some causes can be what's called plantar fasciitis. Another common reason can be Achilles tendonitis. The best way to treat heel pain is resting, icing, and elevation. However, don't suffer from foot and ankle pain. Let the doctors of Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates help you get back to your daily activities and active lifestyle. Visit anklefoot.net to schedule your appointment today.
Can you put your best foot forward?
It's your government, and TVW, Washington's open government television network, opens state government to you. Live, unedited coverage of the state legislature, governor's office, and state Supreme Court. Plus balanced, in-depth reporting on hot political topics from the TVW news team. TVW, televised statewide on cable, and now available on Roku, plus mobile apps for iPhone and Android. All TVW coverage is streamed live and archived for on-demand viewing at TVW.org.
Sports Fan, Spin Tees, Screen Print, and Graphics gives you the very best printing and embroidery. Perfect for teams, schools, companies, or special events. Get excellent quality, custom design, quick turnaround, and low pricing. Count on Spin Tees for quality brands like Port Authority, Sport Tech, and District Threads. Easy ordering and results you'll love. 1025 Black Lake Boulevard in Olympia. Online at SpinTeesPrints.com. Friend Spin Tees on Facebook.
I'm Joel Clark, a SelectQuote agent, with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and he can't take it with him. Well, I went to work and found Ray, who's 40 and takes medication to control his high blood pressure, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month. That's way more coverage for a lot less than what he was paying. If SelectQuote didn't shop for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote and to find out how much you can save, call 1-800-597-2010. That's 1-800-597-2010. 1-800-597-2010. Or go to selectquote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Did you know that United Healthcare helps connect you to doctors and therapists with 24/7 access to virtual care?
So I could have therapy from my couch?
Yep.
Or a doctor appointment from my car?
If you wanted to.
Wait, you're right. I don't even like when people see me sing in the car. Couch appointment it is.
Virtual visits are just one of the ways United Healthcare helps connect you to better health. Learn more at UHC.com. Plan benefits may vary.
I'm Peter Greenberg, and this is today's Eye on Travel Minute. As the Great Migration continues and people are looking for uncrowded places to live, how about the least crowded cities in America? You might want to consider Port Arthur, Texas, Augusta, Georgia, Buckeye, Arizona, or Carson City, Nevada. Some cities like Anchorage, Alaska also made the list, with only 169 people per square mile. In many cases, you can consider these cities extended suburbs of much larger cities. For example, Port Arthur, Texas is just 90 miles from Houston. Another uncrowded city, Northport, Florida, is just a three-hour drive from Orlando. For more information, visit petergreenberg.com. I'm Peter Greenberg, and this is today's Eye on Travel Minute.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Visit libertymutual.com to learn more. libertymutual.com.
Good morning, Olympia. The brightest way to start your day. 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
Welcome back to Hoop Talk with myself, Noel Wall, and Dave Weber at the other end of the line. And we want to thank sponsors like Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates, celebrating 20 years of helping patients get up and stay moving and maintaining good health. You can find them online at anklefoot.net. Also, Spin Tees, a company that does excellent work. Find Spin Tees prints at their new location behind Minuteman Press in West Olympia. You can also find them online at spinteesprints.com. One team left to talk about, Dave, that is the Olympia boys. The Bears under John Kiley beat Jackson to set up their first game in the Dome, and they've done pretty well.
Yeah, they have. I don't know if you want me to talk about that Mariner game that you were at, or do you want me to just
tell us a little bit about the Jackson game?
All right,
or what you know, yeah.
Playing regional round playing game at Tumwater last Saturday, and I want to say, with all due respect to Parker Garrett and maybe a couple other guys, the new star of the Bears, Andreas Engholm, had a big game. Their 6'7" junior forward, he had a stellar game that one with 22 points. And Caden Roth and Parker Garrett, who is the player that already has Division I offers and so forth in their program, each of them had 15 points against Jackson, which set up their couple of upsets, you know, mild upsets, but they've been seeded below the two teams they played. And you were at the game on Wednesday against Mariner.
I was, and that was an exciting game. It opened with Olympia coming out really aggressive and pushing the ball up the court, which unfortunately led to a series of turnovers for the Bears, which fortunately the Marauders were mostly unable to convert. And Olympia led after the first quarter 12-11. And it stayed 12-11 for the next 4+ minutes. There was no score until Caden Roth sank a three-pointer in the second half of the quarter to finally break the ice. That was the start of a 9-point Olympia run. And then an Olympia buzzer beater at halftime by Parker Garrett lit up the crowd. It was good for three, and the half ended with the Bears in the good 26-15. Second half opened up much faster than the first with the teams trading baskets. A defensive change by Mariner, though, added some backcourt pressure and tripped up the Bears for a while, led to a little marauder run, and also not good for Olympia. Parker Garrett's picked up his fourth foul right before the end of the third. He'd foul out with 4 minutes left in the game. Final frame opened with Bears leading by three, and Mariners' Tihan Sané gave them the lead, actually 39-38. First lead since the first quarter for the Mariners. That was with 5.5 left in the game. That one-point lead was taken right back, but it was nearly 2 minutes before some final flashy passing following an Olympia timeout led to, as you said, Dave, Andreas Engelholm. He had a layup, gave Olympia some momentum that lasted through the end. Mariner intentional fouls led to Mason Juergens hitting four foul shots in concession. The Bears won going away 50-41. Andreas Engelholm led all scorers with 18. Caden Roth and Parker Garrett each added 10 for Olympia. Mason Juergens put in 8, and Shea Burns, is that his last name, 4. And the student section was singing happy birthday to him late in the game, so maybe that was the case. Also seeing time for Olympia, Drew Carlson, Parker Fouts, Wesley Brewer, and Cree Barna. For the Mariners, the senior Teon Sané and Nasser Motley each had 13. Dakota Joseph added 8, Isaiah Kuehler with 4, and Makai Bloomfield had 3. That was what happened Wednesday, and I talked to Coach Kiley right after that game. Here he is.
Yeah, you know, our rhythm turned it over a lot early, and, you know, credit their pressure, but I felt like that was a lot of kids and new time at the Tacoma Dome, and so I think we settled down and kind of established a nice little lead there and got stuck on 12 there for a while, but I felt like then it was a game. They came out, punched back pretty nicely in the third quarter, and then it was on. I was so proud of our guys. Parker fouls out with 4 minutes to go. We, I think, end on a 12-2 or 10-2 run, and that just shows, I think, the growth of so many kids in our program that were willing and able to step up when they needed to, and so really proud of the way we finished that game.
For sure. What is kind of your message to your guys when your leading scorer goes out and, you know, it's first day in the dome.
It's all cliche. Yeah. It's time to step up. I mean, everybody, but again, I think everybody's worked just as hard as Parker has. So at that point, I think they have the confidence because they put in the time. And if they don't have confidence now, they're going to after tonight.
I think Mason had a few baskets, a few free throws in that late
1,500-yard receiver as a junior. He's an A athlete, man. So he can do that. So, you know, when he's attacking, we could be really good. Yeah, Tacoma's great. Big size. They play hard. They play well. Coach Tripp does a great job. We lost to him at our place. We're excited.
You know, they gave you a little trouble when they changed up their defense a little bit. But what did you do to overcome
that? Yeah, they're athletes. And I felt like we finally started to hit some passes to the basket. We went to the rim. Once we did that, I think things opened up a little bit. But I was so proud of my guys. You know, they hung in there tonight, even when they got counterpunched.
Fantastic. Well, good luck tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
All right, Olympia Bear coach John Kiley after their win Wednesday over Mariner. And, Dave, it's interesting when your basketball coach keeps quoting your football stats.
Yeah, he did that, and he did that again yesterday. You know, John Kiley, he's great. He's one of the best coaches around here. He's really reluctant to be interviewed, but then once you get him in front of you, he gives you all kinds of wonderful stuff about his program. So it's always fun to hear what he wants to talk about. And, of course, he's pretty high on that football. So, but yeah, Mason Juergens, I'm sure most people who are listening to this broadcast are already aware of this, but he is one of the best football players in the state right now, perhaps the best wide receiver. And I think we're going to hear Kylie quote those same stats again, so I'll leave that to him. But, you know, Juergens did a fantastic job in football, and he's a useful player in basketball as well, as he proved yesterday. Bears, I believe, are now 25-5. That's a lot of games for a Washington school, but they did go to that tournament in Florida, which may have only counted as one game towards the limit of 20. And they also have a league tournament in the SPSL that adds up to a lot of games. So they've been able to play a lot this year, which probably helps them. And as we've said, I believe already, they're the only local team in Thurston County or pretty much anywhere within the sound of our voice that has a chance to win a state championship, and they moved into today's 4A semifinals with another kind of down-to-the-wire game that looked a little bit more of a blowout on paper, 60-53 over a higher-seeded Tacoma team, also known as the Bears. And Engelholm was another key factor in there, and with time not running out but kind of dwindling, he tied the game up with a pair of free throws, and it was 52-52. And on the next Bears possession, Juergens popped open in the left corner and buried a three-pointer with 1:24 to go that put the Bears ahead to stay. He'll kind of say that, you know, he thought it was because he really wasn't, that was his first points of the game, and he wasn't really someone that the Tahoma Bears were, you know, focusing on in their scouting report. So they were probably thinking, hey, number five's open in the corner, oh well. But in that instance, he came through big time. And then he did the same thing as he did in the game you saw. He made 5 of 6 free throws in the final stretch to ice the game. So a couple of good performances for Juergens down the stretch. And again, the other stock, the normal stellar players for Olympia did come through. Junior guard Parker Garrett, who may be the best player in the area. He led the Bears with 22 points. Engholm was next. He had 14 points, also 5 rebounds and a couple of steals. Their game tonight is not an easy one. The 11-seeded Olympia Bears meeting number 1 Mount Si in a 7:15 p.m. semifinal tonight. And the positive thing is that both of the Bears' victories so far have been over higher-seeded teams.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe another upset's in the works.
All right. You talked to Mason Juergens and Coach Kiley after that win. And here first, Mason, a minute with him and then a little bit with Coach John Kiley.
How'd that feel scoring those last 8 points like that?
It felt good. I mean, it definitely felt good. I mean, I'm just happy our team won.
How did you get open in the corner for the three?
I don't know. That's actually a really good question. I mean, I haven't hit anything yet before that in the Tacoma Dome, so, I mean, I'm not surprised I was open.
That's your first three in the Dome?
Yeah, that is my first three in the Dome.
So
right,
you think
there.
They were just leaving you alone on scout then?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, they're just leaving me open. But they were in a zone. I found an opening. Parker brings a lot of attention, so
that's good. The first two free throws, that was on a regular play, and then the last ones were when they intentionally fouled you. So did you feel some pressure on the first set of free throws?
I did, but the same thing happened last game. And once again, I've just been preparing for that my whole life with two free throws backyard. Just always, hey, this is for state, this is for Tacoma Dome. Glad I come in.
So technically, both your wins so far have been upsets. How do you guys feel about being the higher seed teams?
I mean, our last game against Tahoma was probably one of our worst performances of the year. So it's nice to show what we can do. And yeah, no, that's just as we are upsetting all these teams, but I don't know.
All right, we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Thank you.
Mason Juergens become a bit of a leader on the Olympia Bears basketball team. Here is their coach, John Kiley.
Mason, he's not your most talented basketball player. He's probably a better football player. But it just seems like in those moments, he just has this kind of clutch gene or something.
He does. He's a Juergens man. And his dad, his uncle, his brothers, they did it long before he did. And he's a gamer. 85 catches, 1,500 yards in football. So he may be our best athlete.
Yeah.
And you know, athletes have a tendency to rise at a time that it's needed. And he sure has that ability. And we wouldn't be where we are without him.
You mentioned that on that three-pointer, he felt like maybe that was because of the scouts and he's not going to make that. So.
Yeah, he likes when people doubt him and find some different things to motivate him. And and I knew when he squared that thing up, he didn't hesitate. I knew that thing was going in.
You guys lost to Tahoma most recently when you played them. What did you do better this time around?
You know, we were up at half, and then they did similar to what they did here, came out in the third quarter. I felt like we did a better job of moving the ball. We had very few assists in the game at our place a few weeks ago, and that was something that actually that game, I think, catapulted us to the next level where we're looking back at how we were playing. We weren't playing the way we want to play. We want to move the ball, be unselfish, get the best shot. And I think we were settling for good shots. That changed, and I think that's been a big reason why we've ascended to kind of where we are right now.
Now, if you played Grand Kapowski, the opposite could hold true. You beat them. Well, I'm not saying you're going to lose by any stretch. I'm just asking a question.
No, we played them 4 times. That'd be the 5th time.
Would it really?
Yeah.
And you played them very well.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any chance of any letdown?
Well, I think they played a lot better too.
Yeah,
I think you're seeing that they're big time athletes are becoming big. Are again, I think raising their games at this time of year as well. So I think if that happens, I think we're just going to have a knockdown drag out. You know, we've been talking about. I thought last night was a street fight. Tonight was.
was maybe more gentlemanlike, but tomorrow night, no matter who it is, it's going to be a war.
You're in the semifinals, no Jackson Grant on this year's team, but here you are. I mean, what's just made this program kind of humming recently? Is it great coaching, John?
Despite coaching. 2 years ago, we got fourth and had a really nice group of players. Last year, I think we would have been one of the favorites. So, you know, there's been a real simmer of disappointment over the last year. And our guys have worked. Look at their bodies. They work hard. And so, you know, we had a motto of reload, not to be pretentious or cocky, but I wanted that mindset because we have great athletes. And I really feel like they were playing for Bear Nation. They didn't get a chance. Like my son was a senior last year, and Jackson's that team I had since first grade, and they didn't get a chance to compete. And these guys I know are taking that mantle for the community and for the guys that didn't get to last year.
Speaking of reloading, how much better than expected is Andres?
He's really playing well. You know, he's so talented. And so we've seen it now over about a 10-game stretch. He's probably averaging 18 and 10 over that 10-game time frame, and he's just getting better and better. And I'm telling you, you're just scratching the surface, too,
Is that a thing where, you know, you think, oh, my goodness, we're losing this Pac-12 player, and you get another big that's in there, it's perfectly fine for the high school?
You know, yes. But I think it's also high school as a game of guards. So I think when a big starts to exert himself, obviously putting that with Parker and putting that with Mason and Drew, and, you know, again, I didn't do a great job of developing our depth this year, but we have done an okay job of developing the players who right now are doing some really good things.
Thank you, John.
That's all I got. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. All right, that is John Kiley, the Olympia Bear boys basketball coach. They will play Mount Si in a semifinal this evening at 7:15. The other semifinal, Union and Curtis at 9 o'clock. David, you talked to him a little bit about Graham Kapowsin. That was before they lost to Mount Si.
That got wiped off the books, but I was just wondering about that because he was talking about how they had to, you know, come back from not playing well against Tahoma, and Graham Kapowsin had not played well against Olympia. So that would have been an interesting matchup to see if they were able to improve themselves. But Mount Si wasn't having it. You know, they're the number one team in the state right now, and they just went on ahead and won that game. So that won't happen. It's going to be only against Mount Si, and we'll see if yet another upset can occur.
Yeah, and Mount Si's victory was pretty sizable, 68-44, so they are definitely a strong team. And again, head to the Dome this evening. That action starts at 7:15. Yep. That about covers up basketball that we have for today. As far as high school goes, while we're still in high school, I think you have some gymnastic results.
Just a little bit. We didn't have a lot of tremendous performances from the local teams. North Thurston did finish sixth as a team in the combined 2A-3A division. They got some good performances, not onto the medal stand, but good performances from Isabella Burton and Miranda Tate. The top local athlete in the 2A-3A was Timberline's Addison Belmont. She was just off the podium all around in ninth place, and she was sixth on the balance beam, so not too bad there. 4A Olympia did not come close to getting on the top teams, but they did have Kat Castro finish fifth on the balance beam.
All right, very good. Well, it's nice to hear that there are some locals in just about every discipline, I think, going to a good high level. There's also college basketball been going on, the GNAC over at St. Martin's, and Saints with a less than stellar result.
Yeah, really difficult. You know, they're hosting the first time in a few years. They used to host, I don't know how many years in a row it was, but they did host several years in a row. GNAC tournament, got a big crowd out at Marcus Pavilion for that. But this time, they suffered a shocking defeat on the men's side, and they were also eliminated from the women's tournament in the round of eight yesterday, which is a fancy way of saying the quarterfinals. Or maybe quarterfinals is a fancy way of saying round of eight. I don't know. But the top-seeded Saints men were edged by a number 9 seed, Western Oregon, 73-72. Sophomore guard Alex Schumacher led the St. Martins with 22 points. Senior forward Brett Reed added 16, and sophomore guard Christian Hafner had 10. So I guess the good news there is two of their top three scorers are sophomores. Western was red hot from the field. They shot over 50% for the game. They made 13 of 26 threes. Six different players made at least one three. But nonetheless, the Saints tied the game. Schumacher got fouled attempting a three, made all three free throws, 56 seconds from the end. So that tied it up at 70-70. Then with just 4 seconds to play, St. Martin's Goy Wang stole the ball, made a basket, put him ahead seemingly for good, 72-70. But Western quickly advanced the ball, and Cameron Cranston nailed a buzzer-beating three to end the Saints' run in the tournament, which was a shocker, to say the least.
What an exciting end.
Yeah, 9-seed to beat the one on its own court. Women were also knocked out by another Western, the one from Bellingham, Western Washington. 60-54, they had three players in double figures. Josie Matz had 16, and Tierney Donaitis and Ryan Clear had 12 each. If you just like basketball, though, if you're not necessarily a Saints fan, but you like to watch some pretty good, solid Division II basketball, which I guarantee if you sit up close, you won't really know the difference between that and Division I. Obviously, there is, but they are good enough that you definitely notice that it's college ball, and you can get a nice close look at it in the pavilion. The men's and women's semis will be today. The championship game will be tomorrow. So just check the internet if you want to go and head on out there to watch some good ball.
All right. Very good, Dave. Thank you for that wrap-up. We really appreciate it. That is going to do it for today's edition of Hoop Talk, the show brought to you, well, we always say, in part by a passion for high school sports, but mostly, as you know, it is brought to you by our sponsors, so we appreciate your support of them. Thank you to producer Kevin the Brit Huffer. He's in here again this morning to make sure everything goes well. Thank you for listening. If you missed anything, you can find the podcast on KGYFM.com. Be sure and join us next Friday morning for Hoop Talk. Right now, time for the Friday version of the weekday workday kickoff. You're on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.